الحمد لله الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له ونشهد أن سيدنا محمدًا عبده ورسوله أما بعد فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى في القرآن المجيد والفرقان الحميد أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم والعصر إن الإنسان لفي خسر إلا الذين آمنوا وعملوا الصالحات وتواصوا بالحق وتواصوا بالصبر وقال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم نعمتان مغبون فيهما كثير من الناس الصحة والفراغ أو كما قال صلى الله عليه وسلم صدق الله العظيم وصدق رسوله النبي الحبيب الكريم ونحن على ذلك لمن الشاهدين والشاكرين والحمد لله رب العالمين. Respected ulama ikram, elders, brothers and friends in Islam, it is now towards the end of the year. Many people will be on their holidays, people will get off from their work, and as we know, it is a time where students, school is closed, they are on holidays. We should remember that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us a complete deen. Every aspect, every part of the life of a believer has been taken care of in Quran and Hadith. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has explained in detail and showed us how to live our lives. This is a time when many will be free. And Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentions in the hadith, ni'matan maghbunun fihima kathirun minan nas. There are two ni'mat, there are two bounties of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which are such that many people are deceived regarding these two. As-sihha wal-faragh, good health and free time. Maybe we have all experienced in our time, in our lives, that we have some free time and we have some duty to do, some work. But we delay until such a time comes that we are not able to complete the tasks because we have not understood that the time that we had is a ni'mah from the side of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah mentions in the Quran, wal asr, Allah takes an oath on time. For Allah to take an oath is something which is very great because Allah's kalam, Allah's speech, is the truth. They can be وَمَنْ أَصْدَقُ مِنَ اللَّهِ حَدِيثًا. Who can be more truthful than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Whose kalam is more truthful than the kalam of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? So there's no need for Allah to take an oath, but Allah says وَالْعَصْرِ, by time. Man is at a loss. The person who uses his time correctly, then he is successful. That is why we find that insan is always concerned about saving time. From before, if you look at it, people used to walk, travel by foot, travel by animal. Then through inventions, a bicycle was made. Then a motor vehicle, aeroplane. All this for what? For saving time. People generally wash clothes by hands. But now because of inventions to save time, you have a washing machine. So we have understood for our dini lives, for our dunyawi lives, the lives of our dunya, that saving time is something which is so important. Allah has already explained this to us. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam has already explained this to us. That time is very, very important in the life of a believer. And every second a person has is something which will never return. Once it is gone, it will never return. So these are the time of holidays for many. But unfortunately, many of us have made the holidays the objective of our lives. Whereas the true objective was, وَمَا خَلَقْتُ الْجِنَّ وَالْإِنسَ إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُونَ. Allah says, I have not created man and jinn except for my worship. But we have made the objective the holidays. Ulama give a beautiful example of a person who sends his child to school. He looks for the best school, that school which is in line with deen, and he enrolls his child in that school. He pays the fees, even though it's maybe exorbitant. He takes out time to take the child to school in the morning, bring the child back in the afternoon. He spends money for the tuition of the child, the books, stationery, all that he is spending for the child. And what does he want after that? That the child must study properly, and he must get a good education, and thereafter get a good job thereafter. Now if the objective of the child, if the child's mindset is not correct, he can wail and waste that time, while away that time to such an extent that he will achieve nothing from that school. And if the child's objective is merely the sports of the school, if the child's objective is merely the excursions that the school provides, and he lives for this, his entire time in school is for that excursion. When is the next excursion? So he is living from excursion to excursion. And if for some reason that excursion is cancelled, then this brings about grief and sadness in him, and he cannot tolerate it. So that child, after his study, will the parent be satisfied and happy with him? Never. Because he has wasted the father's time, his money. Similarly, we, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, has sent us into this world with an objective. There will be times when we need to relax, yes. There will be times when we need to have some downtime and to relax our minds and brains. But this should not become the objective. The holidays that we have, this is not the real objective. The objective is the obedience of Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam, the implementation of the Sharia of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Unfortunately, many a people have made the holiday the objective. Throughout the year they are planning that now, this year we are going to this destination. And when they go for that holiday, they try and have the most fun they can have, forgetting about every command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. While they're on that holiday, they're planning the next holiday. Next year, where can we go to? And it has become something of boasting and pride also, that I have been to so many countries. I have traveled here. We have stayed in this hotel. We have gone to this place. So that is not the objective. And that is the curse of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. A person who wastes money in this way, to boast and to show people that he has a large sum of money and he can spend here and he can spend there. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not like that. Yes, we find amongst our ulama ikram, amongst our pious predecessors and seniors also of this time, that they also take breaks, they also go out. But it is done in such a way which is conforming to the Sharia. In this time you will find the whole concept of deen is broken by the forces of batil. Muslims have to be those people who are full of modesty, bashfulness. But the holiday period you will find is something to remove that haya from the life of a person. Ibn Umar radiallahu anhuma narrates from Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, who says that إِنَّ الْحَيَاءَ وَالْإِيمَانَ قُرِنَا جَمِيعًا. Haya and iman are both closely attached and linked together. When one is taken away, فَإِذَا رُفِعَ أَحَدُهُمَا رُفِعَ الْآخَرُ أَوْ كَمَا قَالَ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمُ. When one is taken away, the other is gone also. So if a person loses his haya, then automatically he loses his iman. Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu narrates from Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, who says that al-imanu bid'u wa sab'una shu'batan. Iman consists of 70 odd branches. والإيمان شعبة من والحياء شعبة من الإيمان. And haya is part of iman. Part of the kalam of the previous Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam, part of the statements of the previous Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam was, إذا لم تستحي فافعل ما شئت فاصنع ما شئت. That when haya has left your life, then do as you please. So haya is something which is pertinent, very important in the life of every believer. And in this holiday season you will find that that haya which is supposed to be there leaves the life of many of people who are so-called pious also. In the concept of letting the hair down, of having freedom a little bit, what do? We leave out, we drop off every command of the Sharia. A person who generally is not seen in a state where he is dressed un-Islamic, now you will see him dressed un-Islamic. There is, in a riwayat it comes, there is a woman, Sahabiya radiallahu anha, by the name of Ummu Khallad. Her son had passed away in some battle. So she comes to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and she is, a riwayat says, muntaqiba. She has the niqab on, parda on. She comes in front of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and asks regarding her son. And the Sahaba see this, they say, you have been afflicted with this condition and you are still wearing niqab, you're asking about your son with niqab. So then she replies that if my son has gone and left this world and departed, in urza ibni falan urza hayai. If my son is gone, my haya is not gone. If my son has gone and left the world, it doesn't mean my haya must go and leave the world. So this is a very beautiful words of the Sahabiya radiallahu anha. We also have women folk, we also have daughters. It doesn't mean that the holidays come that the haya goes away. We are responsible for them. We are the father figure or the brother at home. We have to see that the haya remains in our woman. And part of haya is parda. Many people, even though this is an injunction of sharia, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us all the ability and tawfiq to implement this parda in our lives, the lives of our women and children. There is great protection in this fast. One is the command of Allah. Yes, every command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is such that there is great protection and there is great hikmah and wisdom in these commands and injunctions of sharia, even though we do not know them, we do not see them. One person, he went for umrah with his brother and his wife. And he used to spend most of his time in the haram, in ibadah. But there was no parda and there was no segregation between his wife and his younger brother. After returning from that journey, coming back home, his wife loses interest in him and now she demands that he must divorce her. So in the end he saw that he's not winning here, so he gives his wife a divorce. After her iddah, she marries his younger brother. Now he realizes that when I was in Umrah, when I was in those holy lands, I was in the Kaaba, I was by the Kaaba, I was in the Haram Sharif. I was making the ibadah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But my brother and my wife were enjoying themselves in some hotel room. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect all of us. That is why we should try and implement this concept of niqab and parda in the lives of our women folk. If we do this, we will be protecting them. One is the outward haya, the niqab itself, and the other is from the inside. We have to make the tarbiyah. It is up to us to teach them haya and modesty. Read the lives of the sahabiyat of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and instill in them this concept of haya. Fatima radiallahu anha was the daughter of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. She was a woman who was, she had the quality of haya to the utmost extent. Even her janazah, this was her wish, that it should be covered. Nobody should even see her janazah. And this is what had happened. A young boy, his father decides to take him to the beach, to the ocean side. So while walking, obviously in the holiday season, we will find that these are the places of fitna, where women are scantily dressed. So this small boy is walking with his father, and he takes a scene in, and he asks his father, "Oh my father, why don't you give these women some sadaqah? Give them some money, because I see they don't have clothing." Then the father realizes, what have I done? I have taken my son to such a place where he has not been exposed to these things before. Now look what is in his mind. So haya is something which is very, very deep rooted in the life of a believer. As the hadith mentions, قُرِنَا جَمِيعًا. They are interlinked, interwoven. A person loses the haya, he loses the iman. And when a person loses the iman, then there is no luck for him at all. So nonetheless, haya is something which is lost in this period. We should be very careful. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made us guardians over our children. And these are times which we cannot maybe change everything around us, but we can change our own environment. Make it such that our children are in a good environment. Sometimes we think to ourselves, I'm going to a certain place, I'm on a holiday, and there is some haram that is taking place, but I'm not directly involved in that haram. So it is okay for me. This is the concept of many people. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us. Ibn Mas'ud radiyallahu anhu, regarding a similar incident, or in a similar strain, he says, or a rawi mentions that we went for a walima, he was invited for a walima somewhere. So when he comes to the venue of that walima, sami'a lahwan, he hears some music taking place. So he returns and goes back. So the person who was with him, thereafter comes by him and asks him, why did you return, why did you go away from the walima? So he mentions that I heard Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam saying, man kathara sawada qawmin fahuwa minhum. That a person who increases the number of a people is part of them. وَمَنْ رَضِيَ عَمَلَ قَوْمٍ كَانَ شَرِيكًا فِي عَمَلِهِمْ. And that person who is happy and pleased with the a'mal, with the actions of a certain people, then he is part and parcel of that. So maybe we're thinking that we are going for a holiday and we are looking after ourselves. But sometimes the environment we are going to is such that there is haram all over us. And by us just being there passively, this is a means of us being part and parcel of that. We will get the same sin as those people are getting, because we are increasing their numbers. Many a times the azab of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that comes upon us, or comes upon many people, and that came before, was due to the flagrant disobedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that was committed in those areas. Where earthquakes came, tsunamis came, people were destroyed because of the immodesty. Yes, a person maybe he was there, by the way, it was not his intention to be there. And then Allah's azab came to that area. Obviously, he will be included in that punishment. But on the day of Qiyamah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will separate between him and the evildoers. But the fact is, try and keep ourselves away from those environments. I'm not saying that do not go for any holiday and do not enjoy ourselves. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us, as I have said before, a complete deen. Even the enjoyment that we take can be a means of reward for each and every one of us. The rest that we take can be a means of reward for each and every one of us. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam made mu'akha, mutual brotherhood between Salman radiyallahu anhu and Abu Darda radiyallahu anhu. So one day Salman radiyallahu anhu visits his brother Abu Darda radiyallahu anhu. He sees the wife of Abu Darda in a very shabby condition, shabbily dressed. And Abu Darda radiyallahu anhu gets some food organized for him and asks him to partake of the meal. So Salman radiyallahu anhu says that I will not eat until you eat. Abu Darda was fasting radiyallahu anhu. So then he broke his fast and partook of the meal with Salman radiyallahu anhu. Came night, Abu Darda radiyallahu anhu stood up for salah, early portion of the night. Salman radiyallahu anhu told him, sleep. Now is the time for sleeping, sleep. So he sleeps away. Again he stood up, Salman radiyallahu anhu told him, sleep. Towards the latter portion of the night, probably one third of the night left. Then Salman radiyallahu anhu told him, qum fa salli. Now stand up and perform salah. They both perform salah. The next day they come to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And Salman radiyallahu anhu mentions his words to Abu Darda, inna li rabbika alayka haqqa. Your Rabb, your Lord has a right over you. وَلِزَوْجِكَ عَلَيْكَ حَقَّ وَلِنَفْسِكَ عَلَيْكَ حَقَّ. Your wife has a right over you. And your body and yourself has a right over yourself also. When they come to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and inform him of this, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, صَدَقَ Salman. Salman has spoken the truth. Mu'adh radiallahu anhu, another great sahabi of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam dispatches him to Yemen. Together with that, other sahaba were also dispatched to Yemen. Amongst themselves, they used to have discussions sometimes. Two of them met One of them said that my condition is such that I am always reciting Quran. Whether I am on a conveyance, down, wherever I am, moving, at home, resting, I'm always reciting Quran. And the other said, that is Muaz radiallahu anhu said, I also read Salah and I also sleep. I also read Salah and also sleep. And the reward that I anticipate in my Salah is no less than the reward I anticipate in my sleep also. The sleep that I am enjoying, I also hope of reward from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So our sleeping and resting also can be a means of reward and gaining from the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala if it is done in the correct manner. That is why a life of a believer is something which is very enjoyable. Whether it is ibadah, is getting reward for it. Whether it's the rest that he is also enjoying, he is getting reward for it from the side of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So in this time of holidays, we can do a few things to ensure that we do not disobey the commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. One is, we have children at home. Try and see to it that, number one, that our salah is in order. The basic command of salah, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned that the distinguishing factor between iman and kufr is salah. So try and ensure that our children are reading salah. 5 times salah. And if they are 10 years and elder, they need to come to the masjid for salah. Our daughters at home also, we should be trying to see to it that they are performing their salah on time. One salah that is made qadha, a person will never get that reward ever again. Just like how one fast that a person missed, Rasulullah ﷺ says he can continue fasting and he will never get the reward of that one fast. In a similar manner, one salah that a person misses, the reward of that salah can never be attained by qadha and how much of nafil thereafter. So try to see to it that our children are performing salah. Especially in the holiday season, you will find that because of the excuse of travel, a person leaves out salah. And he thinks it's okay. I'm traveling now. When I reach my destination, I'll perform all my qadha salah on time. No, this is totally incorrect. Salah on time. Whether a person is on the plane, whether he is moving, is on a car journey, on the road, try and plan our journey such that we will include salah. Plan our journey around the salah. The second thing we can do is try and make the time that we are spending at home pleasurable for our children. If a person is not going out and he is at home, make it such that the children do not get bored. And how can we do this? Adjust our own times. Yes, we are tired, we are working sometimes, but make time for our children. If we don't do this, then they will find their own ways of enjoying themselves. And this will lead to the displeasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We need to find time to joke with our children, to play with our children, to make it enjoyable for them. In one hadith of Rasulullah s.a.w., Uqba bin Amir radiallahu anhu narrates, that he asked Rasulullah s.a.w., Man najah, what is salvation? What is success and salvation? So he said, أَمْسِكْ عَلَيْكَ لِسَانَكْ وَلْيَسَعْكَ بَيْتُكْ وَبْكِ عَلَىٰ خَطِيئَتِكْ. That a person should hold his tongue. Don't say something which he is not allowed to say. And sometimes you want to say something, don't say it. وَلْيَسَعْكَ بَيْتُكَ. And your house should be sufficient for you. The house should be sufficient for you. Make your home environment such that the children, instead of wanting to go out all the time, they feel comfortable at home. Make it such that they want to stay at home. Instead of wanting to go out always to the shopping malls and to the beachfront, make it such that they enjoy their stay at home. So this is what we can do. Make our stay at home enjoyable for them. And the third thing is, we cannot change the environment at home, outside. We cannot change the environment outside, but we can change the environment of our home. Make it such that it is conforming to the Sharia. All those things which are bringing the displeasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, remove them from the home. And make it such that our children are on the commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, our family on the commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And some portion of the Quran recite daily and have some ta'lim at home, whether it's for 10 minutes, 5 minutes also, 10 minutes also. Recite some hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. In this way we will create a beautiful environment at home. The children will not be bored also. We will not lose our minds also. And they will all be turning to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, fulfilling the objective that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created them for. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us tawfiq of making amal. Wa akhir da'wana. Alhamdulillah.